The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 5, Scene 13. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter. This week is a triple threat. I'll be chatting about a trio of theatrical endeavors. I'm now Zooming with Sherilyn Gerard, who is the artistic director of the Heritage Ensemble Theater Company. Welcome to Curtain Call, Sherilyn.
Thank you.
So it's been a while since Heritage has actually had a show. What's coming up?
Right now, we're going into our closing weekend of What They Did For Us, which was written by our executive director, Margaret Joyner. We're at the Richmond Triangle Players. They so graciously let us use their space for this production.
Now, tell us what the story is.
This play is in honor not only of Black History Month, but also Women's History Month. And it tells the story of four African-American women that you don't really hear about. And the first one is Queen Nzinga. She ruled in Africa in the 1600s. And she fought the Portuguese, despite the fact that, you know, people didn't think she should be a leader because she was a woman. And then in the 1700s, we focus on Phyllis Wheatley. She was an African brought over when she was 7 or 8 years old. She just wrote beautiful poetry. And then in the 1800s, we focus on Cathay Williams. She went to work for a general in the army, and she liked the army life so much that she enlisted as a man and served for about 3 years as a Buffalo Soldier. And that's a really interesting story.
Wow.
And then we ended up with Wilma Rudolph, who overcame such odds to become the world's fastest woman.
So that sounds like a very interesting group of women. And I noticed that there is one man in the cast, the very talented Jeremy Morris. What is his role?
We named him Everyman because he is the connective tissue that ties the women together.
Tell us quickly who the women are who are playing the four roles.
Shalandis Wheeler Smith as Wilma Rudolph. We have Rekia Sykes as Phyllis Wheatley, and we have Deja Monet Jones as Cathay Williams. And the show starts off with Marjorie Sutherland as Queen Nzinga.
And of course, Marjorie was wonderful for her role as Harriet Tubman, so that's great to see her back on stage.
Yes.
What was Margaret's inspiration for writing this play?
She just did some research, decided on four people, and then she wrote this amazing play. And she not only wrote the play, but she directed the play and she did the costumes.
Wow. And this is the world premiere, right?
Yes.
You also have From the Vault. What's that about?
That was an idea that came up when we were meeting with the board one night and we were trying to find a way to keep ourselves active during this time when we weren't on stage. I teamed up with Jamar Jones, who is the vice president of our board. And we came up with a series, From the Vault, Gems of the Black Theater. Every week on Monday, we will introduce a playwright. Every Wednesday, we introduce an actor. And on Fridays, we produce a monologue from that actor from a play by that playwright.
So the From the Vault productions will play through the end of March. And will those be also saved? So if somebody misses one, they can go back and watch it later in the week?
Yes.
Speaking of streaming, What They Did For Us will be playing live, of course, at Richmond Triangle Players. Is there going to be a streaming option for it?
Absolutely. We're working on that right now. That'll go live, I believe, after the show closes.
And what is the best way for people to find out about all of this?
You can go to our website, theheritageensembletheatercompany.com. Or you can go to Richmond Triangle Players to get tickets.
Well, this is very exciting, and it's good to see Heritage back in business. And it's great to talk to you, Sherilyn. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed this.
And now I'm talking with Anthony Cosby Jr., who is a local actor in Richmond and has got a special concert planned. Anthony, welcome to Curtain Call.
Thank you so much for having me.
First question for you, how have you been doing during this whole COVID shutdown?
I've been going crazy. I've been going crazy, and that's exactly what led me to this project that we're talking about now.
And tell me, what is the project and what are you going to be doing?
It is called I Would Die For You.
As a longtime Prince fan, I know that's a Prince song. So what's going on with this Prince tribute?
It's a benefit concert and a tribute concert that's honoring the music of Prince while also showcasing the talents of some of Richmond's best musicians, in my opinion. It's a total of 10 of us. It's going to be a whole experience. And so basically, wow, we're trying to honor his music while also raising money to give back to the other local artists in Richmond who have been impacted financially by the pandemic.
That means you're going to have a full band up there.
It's going to be a full band. Jerry, it actually might be some strings added.
And you're going to be performing as Prince, I'm assuming.
Yes, I will be singing all of the lead vocals.
And you have backup too?
I have two background vocalists. Jerry, this thing, I don't even know if words will do it justice. We rehearse every Tuesday at the RVA event space, which is where the actual event will take place. I get very upset when rehearsal is over because it's so good. That's just how good it is.
What made you want to do Prince? I'm assuming you must be a fan.
So my uncle introduced me to Prince when I was a little boy. I got suspended from school and my punishment was I had to ride with him to North Carolina. We got in a car and on the way to North Carolina, he was playing the 1999 cassette tape. On the way up there, I knew not one song or one word, but on the way back, I was singing every song on 1999.
All right. I think I could still do a few of those myself. Of course, I was a little older than you when that album came out.
And you know, so I'm 33. And when people hear my admiration that I have for Prince, they're like, but you're just a baby.
Yeah, that's right. I was probably 33 when that album came out. So that tells you something right there. I know it's going to be streaming. Are you going to have a live audience at all, or is it strictly going to be streaming?
As of now, it's strictly going to be streaming. However, there are some restrictions that have been lifted recently. So we're going to factor that into making that decision on if we'll have people in-house. As a performer, I am extremely energy-based, which means it will probably benefit me to have people in the audience, probably no more than 15 or 20. Maybe we'll make it an exclusive VIP situation, but that's still something that we'll tour with later on down the line.
So just so everybody knows, this is actually going to take place on March 19th live at 7 p.m. and there will be some rebroadcasts. If people would like to watch it and enjoy this concert, what is the best way for them to get more information about it?
The best way would be to add me as a friend on Facebook, Anthony Cosby Jr., and you can find the link in all of the promotional videos and information that I've been putting up. Or you can go to the official event page on Facebook, which is I Would Die For You with the number 4 and the letter U, a musical tribute to Prince, and it should be the first link that pops up in your search browse.
And if anybody is really desperate and they can't find either one of those things, they can also contact us at artsies.org and we can send you the link also. Obviously, you're a longtime fan. I believe you've been doing tributes like this in full costume before. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. So, Jerry, this is an entire production. The lights are its own show. The band is its own show. The costumes, meaning more than one, are their own show.
Right.
We're pulling out all of the tricks for this one.
So you mentioned this is going to be a benefit. How do you plan to make that money available to other people?
So all of the money that we collect from ticket sales and sponsors and donors will be split 50-50 between ourselves and the relief fund that we're going to do. I have a lot of friends all around the world who are artists, and just hearing their stories of struggle really made me want to change the reasoning for doing the show. We're not trying to, you know, pay rent or all of that, but, you know, we're trying to just assist financially with some of those small things that are causing us to be stressed.
By the way, is there anything else you want to mention that you haven't had a chance to mention before we close out?
I want to ask you, Jerry, what is your favorite Prince song so I can make sure it's in this show?
Oh, my goodness. Cream. It's actually on my headset when I swim laps at the pool. So
that just made me so happy. And only because we're doing a lot of songs. Prince, his catalog is just crazy. So trying to incorporate all of those songs in this show was like pulling teeth. My music director, Neil Perrin, literally told me, Anthony, you cannot add any more songs. And so I pulled the guitar player aside. His name is Jackson. And I said, can we just add like maybe a verse of Cream? Like, I just need a part of it, please. And so that part of it is in the show. So you'll be happy.
Terrific. Well, I want to thank you so much. This sounds like a lot of fun. And for Prince fans and fans of Anthony Cosby Jr., who's a successful local actor in town, thank you, Anthony, so much. And break a leg.
Thank you so much, Jerry. I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, you need to give me one squeal before you leave. All right. There you go. So I'm talking with Cynthia Mitchell, who is the executive producer for Bifocals. Cynthia, welcome to Curtain Call.
Well, thank you for having me, Jerry.
So Bifocals has been around for many years. What's the history of that?
Well, Bifocals, from my understanding, started around the year 2003. And it was a group of senior actors. They toured different senior facilities around the Richmond Tri-City area.
I know there's one that's streaming now. What's the story behind this one?
Oh, the one that's streaming now is called What's on TV. And the idea is that this person is flipping through the channels, trying to find something to watch. And each time the person flips, they pick up a little snippet of the show that's happening. And it makes it very humorous because when certain things are said, a line is picked up on the other, and it just makes for a lot of humor.
I did a little sneak preview of it. I noticed there are basically four different shows going on that it goes back and forth. There's a cooking show, a pet show, a gardening show, and a dating show, which are kind of the classics of a lot of what's on TV. And these are comedy versions of those shows with local actors doing the parts, right?
Yes.
Are there going to be more shows this season?
Oh, we hope so. This one seems to have been well received. And so right now we're looking for a script that we can do via Zoom. And we miss going into the facilities because we can interact with the people there. And we have friends there. They look forward to us coming there. So we're looking forward to getting back with them, and they're looking forward to having us come back and perform for them.
I'm sure they are. Everybody's looking forward to getting back out into the theater world. So this show is called What's on TV. It's streaming on YouTube through March 8th. Is that correct?
That is true. So you have just a few more days to catch that.
And probably the easiest way for somebody to find it is just to go onto the CAT website and click the link there.
Yes, it's called Catharsis Theater. When we went virtual, CAT started putting up these little shows and they named it Catharsis.
And the website is cattheater.com. Well, Cynthia, it's been great talking to you. Good luck with future shows and with bifocals.
Thank you so much.
That's it for this week. On our next Curtain Call, we'll be talking with some of the students in our AMP program. Tune in to find out more. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter. See you in 2 weeks.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theater Critics Circle website at artsies.org.